Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk. You can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcast needs. It's good to be talking to you folks. It's been a little while since we've been on the mic. I do apologize for that, as I often do. I just hadn't had the ability or the chance to get on the mic here lately. Been dealing with some things, still trying to get my situation figured out. I'm still kind of in my temporary housing situation. If you have any prayers to spare, you could definitely send one up for me about in regards to the housing thing and a little bit of the financial situation too. I'm trying to negotiate some financial issues that I'm going through, and it's taking some time and it's not going well so far, but hopefully this next go-round with them will get it all cleared up and I can get squared away and everything can get back to normal. But until then, we're gonna, you know what we're going to do? We're going to praise God and just push forward and do what we can when we can with what we have. So here we go. Today, we're going to be talking about, let's talk about pornography. We're going to be talking about something that's very prominent in our world today and yet is a dirty little secret that so many people keep. We're going to be talking about pornography, what it is, how it affects us, whether or not it's sinful, how we can recognize porn addictions, and the steps we can take to free ourselves from the evil influences of porn will be our focus for today. Obviously, we're going to be talking about sexual subject matter, so if you're sensitive to that kind of thing, you may want to skip this particular episode. Now, we're not going to get in, on anything all hard and heavy, but we are going to be talking about sexual materials and sexual making sexual references here. Everything's done in a respectful, godly way, but you know, we're still talking about a subject that some people find uncomfortable, so if you need to skip this episode, I definitely understand. So what is pornography? Well, I can't remember that fellow's name that said it, but there's a judge that said, I know it when I see it, and that is very true about pornography. It exists in many different forms across many different kinds of media. Basically, to me, porn is sexually explicit material intended to be used for the sexual gratification of the consumer. This can come in the form of the written word, such as stories, essays, novels, through things such as audio, via sexy audio tracks, adult chat lines, that whole, just the hearing of it, okay? Then we have things like cyber sex, which is where the consumer can interact with another person, either a professional sex worker or another consumer like themselves, via a text on a computer screen or webcam or, any variation of, modern communication technology. But most of the time when we think of porn, we think of the two most popular mediums, the still photograph and the motion picture formats. These two mediums make up a significant portion of the consumed pornography in our world today. We're seeing an explosion in pornography consumption because of the internet technology that is at our fingertips. In the old days, you actually had to go somewhere to get your porn. Nowadays, you can just sit in your computer and nearly get anything you want for pretty much for free if you know where to look and look long enough and hard enough. No longer do you have to risk being caught at the local adult bookstore to get your fix. You can just type away from home, or as even some people admit, from work. And there's, I saw a number, it was like 13% of men, or maybe it was a little bit higher, but I saw numbers that actually says that like 8% of women admit to surfing for pornography at work, and it blows my mind how people could do that at work. I mean, of all the places you think you would be getting down to business and not getting down to that kind of business would be at work, but people admit, yeah, they actually surf for porn at work. So, these people are doing it from work to get their nudie sex fix. As I have said, this makes pornography much more accessible, along with lowering the age at which our children are able to access it. Back when I was a kid, you either had to have someone's older brother go get it for you, or you had to raid what your dad's stash, or your friend's dad's stash, or whoever had a dad that had pornography magazines. You had to go get into their stash in the garage or under the bed or wherever they had it to get a hold of any kind of porn. This made porn much harder to obtain when I was a child. Now, though, it's out there everywhere to grab right out of the air and indulge in. We also live in a society that is becoming overly sexualized every single day. It seems like with each passing day, we are seeing more and more sex in society, and that sex is getting more and more explicit. For example, when I was preparing these notes, I saw my mother's house. I was at my mom's house, or here where I'm at now, and she happened to get a catalog for a clothing store that caters to plus-size women. This was a little while back, but it's still, I think, relevant. On the catalog were six or seven women, all in blue jeans and completely topless, with their hands positioned to strategically cover each other's breasts. How in the world does topless, overweight women help sell clothing? I'm not picking on them because they're overweight, because I'm a big old boy myself. But, I mean, how does these topless women sell clothing? Except for maybe you want to buy a poor lady a blouse so she doesn't have to be topless anymore? You know, obviously it was meant for it to be a sexy display, but the problem is that these kind of displays are so common that a store that is usually fairly conservative, this is not Adam and Eve, people. This is a conservative nationwide store that is, you know, known for, you know, tasteful, you know, women's clothing, you know, especially larger women's clothing, that have gone out in their ads and gone to the point where they're doing this topless cover, and it was no big deal to anyone. Nobody protested that, I heard. You know, I mean, if they did, it was quiet, because I never come across nobody that said anything about this cover. You know, not even the preacher man at church said anything about it, kind of thing, though I doubt he was aware of it. But, you know, it's still kind of a thing you would expect some kind of outrage, or at least a little bit of, you know, somebody to speak up about it and say, you know, we don't condone this. And we expect better from these places and these companies and these people that are pushing these products. Problem is, sex sells in our society. Make no mistake, and we're inundated with sexual imagery all the time in our world. That is why porn is given such a free pass in the overall media, because if sex sells, then why not give people the whole enchilada? That is why porn is treated like a dirty little secret, something that is allowed, tolerated, just not spoken of. This is a problem, people. But our world is not moving against porn, it is moving towards it. Look at Hollywood, look at television. It is covered in filth and sexual situations. Soap operas have been for years nothing more than sex, drama, more sex, you know, kind of the pattern, and primetime is falling by the wayside quickly too. Sexual situations are up across the board, and sexual intercourse is being represented on a regular basis. While this might not be porn, as in it doesn't feature some of the more intense imagery such as nude breast and or penetration, it still serves as a sexual purpose when we see obvious scenes of sexual activity. It's meant to stimulate you in the same manner, regardless of how far it goes in the representation. It's still saying, ha ha, looky here, you know, that kind of thing. It's still got the idea behind it. Movies have gotten even worse, showing female breasts, sometimes full frontal nudity, and male full frontal nudity is gaining acceptance very quickly, especially in comedies and romance movies. Basically, I think if you're watching someone have sex, whether it be literal with the penetration, you know, the actual act being, you know, like the pornographic films make, or simulated with camera tricks and such to where the movies want you to think they're having sex, you know, whereas the actors might not actually be engaging in coitus, they're just, you know, simulating it, then in my mind, either way, you're looking at either one of those, you're still watching pornography, no matter how you slice it. They're still wanting to get the idea of sex across to you. They're wanting to get the response that sex and sexual imagery brings up in people out of you. So you're still looking at pornography, no matter how you take it. I think you're dealing with porn, too, if you're reading a magazine article about how to better please your partner with a specific act, or reading a naughty romance novel. I think this, you know, Fifty Shades of Grey stuff, you know, is probably, I haven't read it, but I do believe it's probably pornography. You know, if it is, if it is what everybody says it is, then yeah, it's pornography. Porn is much more widespread than most people would admit, and this is a very serious problem that we're facing here. Let's talk about the effects that pornography has on us. Some research indicates that men that consume porn are less happy with their sexual relations with their wives. They are also emotionally more distant, with wives noting this and feeling resentment because of it. There is research to indicate that sexual promiscuity is heightened by the consumption of porn, and that a callous attitude towards the opposite gender develops in the consumer. Let me shoot straight with you guys. This isn't my first rodeo, and I do know what's behind the green door. I've seen my fair share at the very least, if not more than my fair share. I can tell you that the entire situation in porn sets everyone up for failure, disappointment, and suffering. First of all, it creates an artificial impression of what good sex should be. Good sex is when you and your spouse are together in a way that God approves of in a loving relationship. Those performers are not having good sex, no matter what they do to convince you otherwise. For many men, the male performers represent an unreachable ideal. They are often, well, built in ways that do not represent the average man. I guess it's most tenderly I can put that. You know, not only that, but they also tend to drug up on things like ED pills, you know, erectile dysfunction pills, before a scene, giving him performance abilities that are also not indicative of the average man. They tend to also show disrespect for the female partners, and again, is something average married men do not, or at least should not, do. The women also feature an unrealistic view of things as well. They are usually in higher quality films and photos, made to look flawless no matter how they are contorted or what they are doing, along with being built again in ways not exactly fitting the average woman's body shape in America, or anywhere else in the world, pretty much. They are also often drugged, overacting with fake enthusiasm, putting up with behavior that would not have been tolerated in a caring relationship. When we watch these people having sex, we're seeing something that's not going to happen in our real lives, nor would we want it to happen even if it could. But we have this expectation that a woman should behave in a certain way, or that men and women both need to meet a beauty standard that few actually do, or that the performance needs to be in a certain way or else it's not good. All of these things are distorting what making love is supposed to be. This can be extremely stressful on relationships, even those that have been around for a long time. It's easy to forget that porn sex isn't real sex, and expect something from your partner that isn't real, all the while forgetting the beauty of the coming together of man and wife. Now, couple that with the fact that many children are seeing porn and developing these ideas about sex long before ever having it, and you can see how it can be a disaster. The man is forced into focusing on something that's not as important as he might imagine, and women are forced to try to keep up against form. Both parties are going to end up in a bad spot, and their relationships are going to suffer. This is what porn does to us. It makes us all think we have to measure up to porn performers, who generally are drugged up and drugged out and are as fake can be. It's not even getting into the stats on divorces caused by the addiction, on marital relationships destroyed because of the unrealistic expectations and the like. So no matter how you cut it, porn hurts us all, folks. So the question becomes, is it sinful? Well, I think we know the answer to that already. The answer to that is Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If you are looking at a woman with lust in your heart, then you have committed adultery just the same as if you had gone out and had sex with her. So if you're watching porn, you're doing this to be sexually provoked, and that means you're lusting, and you have committed adultery with all those porn people as well, just the same as you have been on the set having sex with them. We don't need any further scriptural proof on this. Looking with lust is the same thing as actually committing the act itself, and porn is based on the inspiring of lust. Therefore, it is sinful. Now let's consider the angle of addiction. Many people in the world are addicted to porn the same way they are addicted to drugs or cigarettes or anything else that's addictive. There are several reasons why breaking an addiction to porn is difficult. The first reason is because it takes something naturally given by God and twists it. Excuse me. Sexual desire is a condition programmed into the human body. To feel desire is natural and normal. But to consume porn is not a natural extension of the human body's sexual desires. It is a twisting of something meant for the spouse and cheapens it by giving it power to random people who are far beyond any kind of respect. Do you respect the performers in the porn you consume? Of course not. This is not how, excuse me, this is not how the sexual desire is supposed to operate. It's supposed to operate in the confines of a loving relationship, a loving marriage, and be directed towards your spouse, to whom you're obviously supposed to love and respect. Porn takes what is natural and applies it to an unnatural situation. It's incredibly difficult to break a porn addiction because, as I said earlier, it's nearly everywhere. I mean, where the catalogs are featuring partially nude women for a big and tall shot, basically. They got naked women on their cover, basically. You know, it's time to admit that porn is ridiculously easy to come across. You know, I mean, if it's getting that pervasive. It's hard to part with something when the temptation to look on something lustfully surrounds you. Try avoiding sexual situations and flip through the TV channels. Not going to get too far before you come across an entire channel dedicated to that kind of thing. There's a couple, and I'm not going to name them, but there's a couple of prominently, they build themselves as women's networks, that are sex and death channels. That's what I call them. I call them sex and death channels. Because they feature movies and programs that are nothing but either murder mysteries, sexual-based dramas, or sometimes sexy murder dramas. You know, it's like, you know, one, two, or both of them. These channels tend to cater to women, but with all sexual material, both genders are watching for pornographic reasons. It's easy to get into the world of porn because the performers don't look back at you and judge you. In fact, they're paid a great deal of money to convey sexiness and desire to the viewer. That girl in the video, she doesn't look at you and reject you. She looks at the camera like she wants nothing more than you to be with her, like you would fulfill her life completely. We all want to be accepted in our lives, so it's ideal. It's ideal that the ideal level of acceptance, on a total level, sexually at least, is highly appealing because who doesn't want to be wanted, right? And especially when it's not attached to obligations like our normal relationships are. You don't owe a living to that girl on that videotape. You know, you have this lustful thing to look upon her with your lust in your heart. Get your satisfaction from that, and then you're gone. You know, there's no, you know, she represents something that is a, you know, relationship with benefits, so to speak, but with no responsibilities. So that's all, oftentimes where porn becomes very addictive and very entrancing to, you know, entrancing, I don't even know if that's a word, you know, enticing, I guess would be a better word, to men and women, but mainly men, because of that whole idea. It's not okay to give sin a free pass. We need to demand accountability from those that are producing, distributing, and consuming this material. Porn is wrong. It's not a boys being boys thing, so to speak. It is sinning against God. It is often difficult to break away from porn because it is directly related to sexual gratification. There are some instances of couples consuming porn together, but many of the consumers of porn do so alone, either to gratify themselves on viewing it or to use the imagery they see for later gratification. Either way, the porn is tied to the feeling of sexual release and gratification, and that becomes a pleasurable reinforcement of the acceptability of the activity. You know, you look at the consuming porn as related to the sexual release or the sexual pleasure, you know, that stimulation, that sexual gratification that you get from it, and it becomes a reinforces the idea that it's okay to do that, to consume the porn. You know, your brain associates that good feeling with the activity, and all of a sudden it becomes more and more appealing to you. There's also a guilt associated with it. Even in our society where boys will be boys, the consumer will feel bad because of the actions and thoughts while consuming porn. A great deal of us considers it to be at least disrespectful to our spouses, if not out and out adultery. This is oftentimes why the activity is hidden in many situations, even where the spouse might allow for the activity to happen for some reason. Even if the wife is okay with it, those seem to be few and far between, although I admit they are rising in this world today, we still tend to try to hide it. It's because we feel guilty. It is sin, and deep down we know it. And that is one of the places the guilt comes from knowing we are sinning against our families and against God. You know, deep down you shouldn't be messing with it. You know, that is the guilt that's associated to it. Even in our society where sexual promiscuity is so openly celebrated, we still have a guilt association going on with it. It's still embarrassing or you know, things like that because, you know, makes us feel guilty because we deep down, God is appealing to our conscience and saying, you know, hey man, knock that off. You shouldn't do that. It's also difficult for a consumer to break the habit because they might be tempted by the materials brought into the home by their spouse. The spouse might not realize the temptations presented in certain videos and magazines. Like with my mother's catalog, if someone was trying to avoid sexual stimulation and break an addiction with porn, that topless cover could have made things a great deal more difficult. As the odds are, my mother might not have even realized that whenever she brought the mail in. Okay? There's also a general situation to consider, especially with our generation and those that preceded it. We oftentimes found out about pornography through our fathers. Therefore, we emulate our fathers in many aspects of our lives, including possession of porn. If our children discover or suspect that we possess porn ourselves, they are likely to emulate us as well as in their adulthood. You know, well, my dad had it. Well, okay, then you're my dad, and you have it. Well, I only have it because my dad had it, and he only had it because his dad had it. What have you. You know, however you want to look at it there. You know, there's a lot of kind of emulation to where if dad did it, well, it must be okay kind of thing. We take our standards of what is normal and right from our families, especially our parents. That can lead to an acceptance of something purely on the basis of, well, dad did it too, and which is to no way to live out our lives. We need to look and say, well, God said so. That's what needs to be our motivation behind our lives. But it's, you know, it's natural to live your life because, you know, the way you learn how to live your life is from your family, from your parents, and from what you learn from them. You know, so it becomes difficult for a lot of people in those situations because they've been raised with this idea of, oh, you know, it's okay to have it. You know, I have to admit, I grew up in that situation myself, you know, to where it was like, oh, well, you know, he had it, why can't I have it kind of thing. You have to learn to get past that. Finally, we need to understand that there are dark spirits involved in this porn business. Giving up porn is not only a physical thing you do in the real world, it's a spiritual thing you need to attend to as well. You need to pray, you need to look towards your spiritual health at the same time. Satan does not give up his position in our lives easily. If you're consumed by porn, Satan has a stronghold in your life, and it must be addressed before you're ever to truly be free. So you need to be aware that Satan is, you know, behind all of this, and, you know, uses this pornography for dark purposes, and you need to, you know, not only look at it and say, get rid of the magazine, erase the file off the computer, you need to spiritually pray about it. You need to pray to God and appeal, you know, for his spiritual guidance and his spiritual protection of you, because it's also got a spiritual component to it. It's not just as simple as giving up, you know, as just doing a certain action, like taking out the trash, you know, and putting it in the dumpster and being done with it. You need to pray on it too. You need to seek God in all things, but especially whenever you're trying to get away from something that is sinful, like pornography. So let's talk about the steps we can take to get rid of porn in our lives. The very first step you must take is acknowledge that there is a problem for you. Proverbs 28:13 tells us, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." You can't work on a problem if you don't first admit that you have a problem. If you try to hide your sin, you're not doing yourself any favors. In fact, you are hurting yourself. What is done in secret will someday be shown in public. So let's stop hiding behind the whole dirty little secret thing, shall we? Confess to God your sin of consuming porn and repent to them so that they are removed from your life. You really have to repent. You can't just say sorry and start watching porn again next week. You've got to be real about it, folks. Give it up, mean it, and seek God's forgiveness, and you shall have mercy. The next step is admitting that consuming porn is indeed wrong. We talked about it earlier, what Jesus said about lusting after someone in your heart, and porn is all about lust, so we know it's wrong. We must be willing to admit that. We can't hate other sins but favor pornography in our lives. We must stand against all sin, no matter what. We can't blame others for our addictions or our usage of porn either. We can't say, but if my wife would only do this or that, or if only my wife was more affectionate, I wouldn't look at this. You might remember a certain man that blamed his dame back in Genesis, and the woman blamed the serpent. No, the buck has to stop with us, the responsible parties. Looking at porn isn't going to fix your relationship, and you don't look at it because of that anyway. You look at it because you want to, not because of anything else. We have to own up to our own sins. Again, another step we can take is to avoid the sin of porn is to remember that God has declared it sinful, and we cannot partake in sin and walk with Christ at the same time. We need to understand what God is doing, that doing what God tells us is paramount in our lives. It's the most important thing we need to do. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We must do what God commands us. That's the entire reason we are here in this old world, to obey God and his statute and rules. So that next time you go click onto a porn site or think about whipping out a magazine, remember God has forbidden this, and Galatians 6:7 tells us, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap." Next, we need to learn to flee all sins, especially porn and sexual ones. Proverbs 4:15 tells us, "Avoid it, pass it not by, turn from it and pass away." Here's an interesting verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17. 6:18, excuse me. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Every sin we do outside of sexual sins is without the body. What does that mean? That means what you do outside of sex doesn't pollute your body, but sex, when done sinfully, affects the body and lowers us from being intelligent beings and brings us to acting like nothing more than animals. These activities debase us. Let's go ahead and read the next verse, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is within you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? To sin against the body is to sin against something that isn't even ours in the first place. We also need to realize it's not about willpower. We all have weak moments. We will all give in if we rely on ourselves and our own willpower by ourselves. Matthew 26:41 tells us, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Our flesh is easily corrupted, so we need to learn to lean on God for our strength. Psalms 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower." We need the Lord to do anything. John 15, verse 5 tells us, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Willpower isn't the answer. Taking refuge in God is. Be sure that you don't try to go it alone, especially when we have God available to help us through these things. The next step we can take is the obvious one. Destroy all porn in your possession. If you have physical material, throw it out. If you have digital material, erase it. Get rid of it. You don't even have a chance of getting over this stuff if you still have it lying around. The temptation is just too great. If you want to be free of the stuff, then you have to get rid of the stuff. That's, the most obvious one, like I said. Finally, we must learn to resist evil and thereby keep ourselves in God's will. James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Remember, when you stay in God's will, he will take care of you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." There will always be a way out. There is never a temptation too strong for you to resist. Keep your faith, walk with God, and he will look after you. We belong to God, and we need to keep our hearts and minds pure for when it comes to sexuality and pornography. We need to realize it's hurting people who are making it, it's hurting those that view it, and it's hurting those around the viewer. We owe ourselves better, we owe our families better, and we surely owe God better than that. So put down the porn, throw it away, and allow your life to be clean before God. Until next time, my friends, God bless.